the Cain story. Crouching at the door. And the direction to Cain is, you must master it. You must master it. Did you find, was it actually master in your, okay. Because there's so many variations of way you can translate that. But the gist of it is, it's like an animal that's going to take prey if it can. So you have to master it. So that's another fall story, which we're going to do tonight is Noah. I don't think we'll get through the whole thing, but the other that's another fall story. Humans fail. God's going to wipe them out, start it again. That's a fall story. And then also next one would be at least the Tower of Babel, which is a false story. A failure of human. I think that's pride there, but we'll work on that when we get to it, okay? We'll kind of work on that. One of the stranger things that's said to me during that passage is humans will be able to do anything if we let them go. I don't know why, it just never stuck out at me before that. The conversation is, yeah, if we let them go, they'll be able to do anything. Yeah, and I thought that was really something. Okay, and then in chapter 6, we started with the sons of God marrying and mingling. You get that idea with the daughters of men. Roughly, that's probably King James. Okay. That's a difficult one. That's a difficult one to deal with. Okay? Not easy to deal with. The reason I bring it out because it's such a confusing text for, at least it is for me, to work on, because when it says sons of God, You think of angels, that kind of being. Okay, I know. I have problems with it. I'm not able to get my head around that. Okay, but there are people who say what you have is a division in humanity that these people are obeying God and these people are not. Yeah, and then they mingle. But that just doesn't suffice for me. Okay, with the language that's used. Okay. Go ahead, Joan, you want to say something. Oh, okay. It just seems the division is sharper than that, and I can't. Yeah. And also the idea of Jesus saying angels do not marry are given in marriage makes you think that they are asexual. And here, obviously, the sons of God are not asexual. Okay. Fine. I'm not going to help you out with this. You understand that. All we want to do is think about it, okay? Now, let me muddy the waters a little bit more. or at least make the idea a little more prevalent in the text. Okay, let's go to if you have your Bibles, let's go to Psalms 8. By the way, it's so refreshing to read Psalms after you've been reading two chapters of Genesis with nothing but names in my in our daily reading. Let's do 4 as well. Psalms 8, 4. What is man? Every phrase. And when the phrase is said again, almost repeated, word for word, it's the same thing. So you have, it'll be, everything is said almost, everything said twice. Okay, so what is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? Did you see the same thing? Okay. You're thinking about humans. Okay? You got it? All right. Next verse. You made him a little lower than the heavenly being. Now, that's what my Bible has, heavenly being. Does anybody have a different translation besides that? Yeah. Are you reading King James? I don't even think King James says that. Is that right? Made him a little lower than heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. Okay. The word for heavenly beings there is Elohim. That's the word, Elohim. Okay. So the translation that Scott just mentioned there can be, it's viable. Okay, it's viable. I just wanted to bring that up in that kind of sense. By the way, the writer of Hebrews mentions this text almost word for word. Well, he quotes it. He quotes it in his talk. Let me see. I have it. Hebrews 2:7. We won't turn there because we've already read it ourselves. But the writer of Hebrews mentions this text here. I think Jesus does somewhere along the line, but I'm not sure how he does it. Seemed to me like Jesus does it too. But we can look at that some other time. All right. All I want to do is mention that there are other places in the Bible other than Genesis 6 in the first part of that chapter that talks about heavenly beings and God and man. Getting a little closer, put it that way. Okay? All right. Yes. But they would have the same problem we have with a fallen. Yeah. Have the sin problem. Yeah. But not redeemable as far as I know. The closest I got to that in Africa was some places where they bled chickens but that was just the closest I got to it. Okay, and everything may have been sanitized for me to see it. Okay, you know what I mean? How people want to, but I don't know. I do know. Talk when I've got a chance to talk freely with young men. They wanted to know about, can you be lost again? You know, if I sin, can I be lost again? And that kind of thing, which I think the story of Noah is just wonderful when it comes to that. Hopefully we'll make sure that we nail that down. I'm sorry, what? Oh, okay. She said, let's read it then. All right. The reason for the flood is 6:5-7. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. The Lord regretted that he had made the human beings on the earth, and his heart was deeply troubled. Next slide. So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them. Yes. Well, that's what I think part of the beginning, which we just discussed, is trying to tell us that things are going bad, and they're going bad quickly. No, that was as clear a statement as you're going to have right there, what I just read. Okay. I always thought that the first part, which we discussed a little bit tonight, was kind of a lead in to that. But it doesn't, there's no direct correlation, okay? It's not there, okay? And then you have this here. Now this is plain here. Okay. Yeah. This fall of humanity is so important. Did you ever hear of Paradise Lost by Milton? I mean, just books and thoughts have been put on this to try and talk about, Kim, what you were just talking about. and we it's not a settled. It's 2,000 years. It is not settled. Okay, we keep working on it. And so rightly. And now I hope to feed you and get you working on it. Okay, all right. I thought you might be into that. God regrets that he did that. But we don't see God like that making mistakes. You going to let me get away with that? What I just said? I know. But we don't think about God like that. Yeah, we don't. So I want you to start thinking, giving God a little more leeway and let him do what he does, okay? And Kathy, you started out tonight, too, talking about the cattle and yeah, and there the cattle are included in this. It's going to wipe the cattle out, too. Well, that was what she said. That's just about what she said earlier. Yeah. Well, what do they do? Yeah. But they're in on it now. And of course, Paul would say all of creation is corrupted somehow in the fall. That's how important. And we know how important it is because we're still fumbling with it. We're still trying to figure out, what does this mean to me? What does this mean to reality? What does this mean in the social setting? What does the fall of humans mean? Yeah. And I'm rethinking that again, too, with some other reading I'm doing, okay? I'm really working on it. I really am. Seriously, really working on it. Okay. So here you have the stage is set for what? To wipe it out. You got that, okay? Okay. Before God does any major judgment, he wants to make sure that everybody has a chance to hear. Yeah. And I wanted to bring that out here, okay? That there's a way of salvation. Just put it, let me say it blunt. There is always a way of salvation, even though we are sinners and we are affected by the fall. There is always a way of salvation. So we come down to 8:10. Noah found favor. But Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. This is the account of Noah and his family. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, you have one man who is righteous, but it looks like that God's going to save his sons as well as all the wives because one man is righteous. Okay? And what does he do? He faithfully follows the Lord. That's what he does. He is found righteous. I think it's, again, I'm referring to the book of Hebrews tonight, I guess. I think it's in the book of Hebrews where he preached righteousness all the time he was building the ark. I think that's roughly the way the text goes. You know the text I'm talking about? Yeah. So he's not only building the ark, but he's preaching righteousness. Yeah. Everybody, people have a chance. People have a chance. Especially your guy's building an ark, and Noah says it's going to rain. It never rained. Well, what are you talking about? It's a there you go. Yeah, what's the matter? We don't know. Exactly. That's good. But getting back to that, there is a way of salvation that is put there, okay? But Noah found favor, and this idea of the favor of God is just so important. What do you want? I want favor. I want favor. That's what I want. I want that favor. Okay. Okay. God takes actions. Verse 11. Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. Now that was a detail right there to describe. What's going on? That is violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, and for the people on the earth had corrupted their ways. So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. Now, of course, earth means here the world as people know it, okay? All right, next slide. Oh, okay. I'm just about to figure it out, Chris. Thanks. Sorry about that. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 300 cubits long. I left this in there because I thought it'd be interesting for us to know how big the ark is. This is left, what, cubits. Cubits is roughly 18 inches and 30 cubits high. Make a roof for it, leaving below the roof at opening one cubit high all around. Well, they'll need that for ventilation, won't they? After you get all them animals on there. Yeah. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. So you got the idea. You got three decks, and you got a ventilation all the way around the top. And how you're going to get on the ark? There's a door in the side of the ark. Okay? Now that's important. Okay? I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth to destroy all life under the heavens. Every creature that has breath of life in it, everything on the earth will perish. And so God is going to take action. And his idea is to flood the earth, to make judgment of water, and Okay. D, I got D here. Next slide. Makes a covenant. But I will establish my covenant with you. And you will enter the ark, you, your sons, your wife, and your sons' wives with you. Now, I'm not sure that the covenant he's talking about is the rainbow here. That's the next covenant. I'm not sure that's the covenant. Because it doesn't say explicitly. He just says, I'm making a covenant with you. I think the ark is the covenant here. Because the ark is the way of salvation. And how do you get on the ark? You enter through the side. And Jesus was pierced in the side, and blood and water came out. I think this correlates. I know why you can take this typology too far. I understand that, and I'm usually cautious about it. But this is so blatant for me and was so helpful for me to study as a young man, to study this particular text and understanding God's salvation for me. Okay? So how do you get saved here? Get in the ark. This is real simple. This is not difficult. This does not take geometry or anything like that. Just get in the ark. Go ahead, John. What God shuts, no man can open. And what God opens, no man can shut. When they got on the ark, God closed the door. And when it comes time to get out of the ark, what we will read, they do not come out the door. They come off the top because the lid or the roof is removed. Okay? I just want to put that out there. If you get in the ark, and you're good to go. You're good to go. Yeah. And it's not like later you decide, well, maybe I'll change my mind. No, you're in. And we'll get you out later, but not, no. I that's just the way I read it, okay? We'll go through it step by step. We'll go through it step by step, okay? But at the end of the day, God is providing salvation. That's what God is doing here. The earth is corrupt. And in every way, it's corrupt. Violence reigns. Here, he's gonna provide salvation, though, even in the face of that. And who is saved? Everyone that gets on the ark. Okay? All right. I love it. I love these old stories. I just love them. By the way, how many people got on the ark? Three. There's no mention. Just keep it simple, okay? But there's no mention of any children at all. Both are plural, okay, but I'm still counting three. 8 altogether. And 8 is the number. Boom. Go ahead. Eight is the number of new beginnings. Eight is the number of new beginnings. Okay? So the last house that Joan and I had, we built it. It had 8 sides. And not by mistake. Jesus raises from the dead on the 8th day. He comes into Jerusalem on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and he raises the next Sunday, which is the 8th day. New beginning. New beginning. Now, you can make too much of these numbers when it comes to the Bible, I know that. But just kind of pay attention to what's going on, and you'll see the number of 8 is all about things new. A new beginning, okay? Okay. And we got the covenant, and which I think here is the ark, okay? We'll talk about that a little later when we get to the next covenant that God makes, and you might want to combine them, okay? But I didn't, all right? All right. Animals. The contents of the ark. Animals. All right. This is a job. This is a job here. You are to bring into the ark 2 of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. 2 of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. The animals are smarter than people here. I just throw that out there. You see what I mean? Because what would the animals do? They'll come to you. Why are they coming to you? So they kept alive. Yeah. I'm going with you. I'm going with you on that, Jerry. I'm going with you. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. What do you call the person that provides provisions on a ship? Is it quartermaster? Yeah, I'm not sure. That wasn't part of my notes. I just happened to think about that. But that's a real job. That's a real job, you know. And you calculate how long. Well, till we get done. How long will they? Well, they'll be here a while. We'll want them for a long time. We're going to build a house with them. No. Go to the next slide. Is that it? Okay. Take with you. Oh, I wanted to make sure we read this text, okay? Because when Noah gets to the end of the flood, he does sacrifice. And a person raises the question, well, you can't have... Oh, yes. Okay, it's okay. Take you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal. So you see how the division is made there? Yeah. Also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to make their various kinds alive throughout the earth. Okay. Yeah. Okay. All right. You got to be able to tell male from female. Okay. That's a step in the right direction. Okay. I just want to put that out there. You need to work on that, work on that. Okay. You got to be able, if you're going to be any kind of a farmer, you got to be able to tell male from female. Okay. Just throw that out there and take that, work on that, see what you can do with that. Okay. And it's helpful. Yes, it's helpful. That's all. Okay. All right. really? Oh my gosh, no. It can get difficult. All right, 7:1, and Lord said, "No, go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation." On that very day, Noah and his sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, along with the wife and the wives of the three, entered the ark. And that's important. Okay, they get on the ark. So your job is, first job is to do what? Huh? Well, get on the ark. Do not miss this, okay? If you do, it gets complicated after that, all right? Right. Yeah. And I'm not sure this looked like a boat. Okay. It sounds like a rectangle box is what it sounds like if you read it in here. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt there. At that level, when you first hear the message, the next thought for us usually is say, well, how can that be? That is the thing you should not be concerned about at that level. How? Okay? That will come to you later. But don't be worried about the how at that level. Okay? I'm not saying be worried about the how. I'm just talking about at that level, you don't worry about the how. Because your mind does not know to go there. You cannot think about that. Otherwise, God wouldn't be calling you to that. Okay? Because the number 8 is involved. This is a brand new thing. A brand new thing. Okay? All right. I wanted to do this other one. And the Lord shut them in. Verse 16. The animals going into where male and female, every living thing, as God had commanded, then the Lord shut him in. I wanted to bring that out. God closed them in. They come in through the side. That's the entrance there. And then God closes them in. And what's the symbolism there now? When God closes them in, what happens? When will they get out? Yeah, they can't just get out, okay? Again, a text that really helped me as a young man to understand God's salvation is when Jesus said, no man can pluck you out of God's hand. And I know that's King James word, but nobody can like snatch you, get in there and steal you away or that kind of thing. That just can't happen. It just won't happen. And that you get the same idea here as God closes them in and they are safe till how long? Till God wants them to get out of there and they are delivered safely to their next destination. Okay? the water's dried up after 40 days. Noah opened the window he had made in the ark and set out a raven, and it kept flying back and forth until the waters dried up from the earth. Now, I don't know. One preacher, I love preachers, okay? I just love them. And they tend to be really, you know why preachers tend to be really creative? I thought about this a lot. You know why preachers really tend to be creative? Because they got to preach every Sunday. They got to come up with something, and sometimes they get it. Amen? Yeah, yeah. It's like the preacher that read the passage, God has bared his holy arm. And he read that passage and he said, oh yeah, God has rolled up his sleeve to deliver the knockout punch. I loved it. I was going for it. One guy picked that up. He said, let's go one better. Your arms are too short to box with God. That would made it to a Broadway play. I love preachers. That comes from preachers out somewhere preaching. I'm telling you. I just know that. Okay? Yeah. And so, but now God shut them in after 40 days and 40 nights. I opened the window and he made. And why didn't the raven come back? Where was the raven resting? That's why I love preachers. It's because, see, the ravens, they don't mind resting on the dead bodies of floating animals. They don't mind that. Matter, that's part and parcel of them. But he turned the raven loose on that, and he said, well, he just goes home. You know, this is where he belongs. You know, but when you put a dove out there, let's go to the next slide. Did we put, yeah. But the dove could not find anywhere to perch. Because there was water all over the face of the earth, so it returned to Noah. He reached out his hand and took the dove and brought it back to himself in the ark. He waited 7 more days and sent out the dove from the ark. I have a fascination with doves. I just do. I can't tell you why, except maybe this text here. I don't know. Maybe that just built in parcel of our experience. But it seems to me that when I really need a word from God, a dove will coo at me. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The last time as I was worried about, I shared with the pastor, I think I'm really worried about my sermon. You know, and I'm walking from the parking lot back here to the church. And there's a dove on the other side of the street, perched up there. And, you know, they sound like they're miles away, and they're not. They're right here close. And just, calm my heart. Calm my heart. Yeah. There was. Yeah. Don't you want an old crow squawking at you? Did you notice a crow squawks and a dove coos? I tell you. Let's just leave it there, okay? But I just, I'm just telling you how I'm getting it, okay? My experience, okay? All right. He waited 7 more days. And when the dove returned to him in the evening, there in his beak was a freshly plucked olive leaf. Then Noah knew that the waters had receded from the earth. He waited 7 more days and sent the dove out again, but this time it did not return to it. Isn't that beautiful? That's beautiful. You know what? I'm starting to get this now. If Noah listens to doves, maybe I should too. So I'm going with it. I'm still going with it, okay? If it fails, I'll tell you about it, all right? Or maybe I won't. I don't know. Okay, doves are a symbol of peace, especially with an olive branch. That's a symbol of peace, okay? And so we know this, all right? Speaks to us, all right? 13 and 18, covering. By the first day of the first month of Noah's 601st year. Wow. We noticed in our reading today, Joan and I noticed how the numbers are coming down in our reading today, or was yesterday. I'm not sure I've had both of them in today. So, but and the water had dried up from the earth. Noah then removed the covering from the ark and saw that the surface of the ground was dry. By the 27th day of the second month, the earth was completely dry. So how'd he get out now, remember? Well, we're not yet. I understand that, okay, but what'd he do? He removed the cover. He removed the roof. Then God said to Noah, come out of the ark. You and your wife, your sons, and their wives, bring out every kind of living creature that is with you, the birds, the animals, and all the creatures that move along the ground, so they can multiply on the earth, be fruitful, and increase in number on it. Okay? So, the command is what? But come on out and be fruitful and multiply. Yeah, you know, you get this. And you know, we got here because what? People in the past did what? Fruitful and multiplied. But we act so surprised that it's going on. Have you ever noticed that? I have noticed that, yeah. Well, I'll be. Well, let me see. Let me think about this for a minute. Things are working exactly as God intended. That's what? They're working exactly as God intended. Okay? And so that's what you're supposed to do. Be fruitful and multiply. Come on out and do what? Be fruitful and multiply. Yes. Good point. Yeah, but you're probably thinking back in the garden. Yeah. Recommission. You have to keep telling them this. All right. Let's go to the next one. We got a couple more minutes yet. Remove the covering, and then so Noah came out together with his sons and his wife, and the sons' wives, all the animals and all the creatures that move along the ground, all the birds of the air, everything that moves on land, come out of the ark. One kind after another. And it, by the way, if you notice that language is always used, of its kind, of its kind, of its kind. Okay. No, I did not. Fish weren't on the ark. Is that where you go with that? I think that. Where everything has a breath, you know, and so that kind of covers that. So things that don't have breath, I assume that's a fish, you're good. Yeah, you're good. All right. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, taking some of all the clean animals and the clean birds, sacrifice, burnt offering to the Lord. The Lord smelled, and I don't want to make too much of that, okay? Yes. Because it has involved the shedding of blood, and also a gift to God, and as crude as it sounds, I want you to take note of smell, the pleasing aroma. It said, okay, in his heart. Yes. And there's many passages in the New Testament that talk about the prayers of the saints of being the incense that rises up to heaven and become a pleasing aroma to God. Okay? This is the way they worshiped. And this is what they understood. So he's making the sacrifice there to tell God, thank you for bringing us through this awful, awful experience. Let me see. Smell pee. Never, and now God says what? Never again will I curse the ground because of humans. Even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. Okay? As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. Okay? Yeah. Now let's go to the covenant. We want to make sure we get there this evening. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall on all the beasts of the earth and on all the birds in the sky and on every creature that moves along the ground. And all the fish in the sea, they are given into your hands. Things are changing a little bit here. Okay? Now, all animals now. Everything that lives and moves about will be food for you. It kind of opens up a whole new territory. So what's good to eat? Whatever. Whatever. Okay? But you must not eat the meat that has life blood still in it. That's if in the New Testament, the Gentiles ask the church at Jerusalem about being saved and about grace. They said, yeah, everything's okay with that, except, and there's two of those restrictions have to do with having eating blood. Blood is not, I should say, they don't say it's not permitted, but it offends the Jewish concept. And so just don't do it. Don't eat animals that are strangled. And why don't eat animals that are strangled? Yeah, the blood coagulates in the meat and you eat the blood along with it. Okay, yeah. That's out. That's out. Everything else is game. That's out. Why? I think, again, we're not told exactly in the text. I think it is you are continued to hold a reverence for life because life is in the blood. You are asked continually to hold reverence for life. Some reverence for life. Okay? Even though you're going to eat the animal, there's still a reverence for you there. That's not to eat the blood. Still in. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting for every animal. And from each human being, too, I will demand an accounting for the life of another human being. Of course, what's he talking about here? Yeah, murder. Murder. Yeah. Whosoever sheds man's blood by human shall their blood be shed. Now, what is he doing here? You got to govern yourself. You're going to have to govern yourself. All right? That's up to you. You have to govern yourself. For in the image of God has God made mankind. I'm sorry? Yes. Yes. Just so you know. And by the way, when I read Psalms 8 tonight, I wanted you to see the place that God has made for you and the glory. I know we're down on humans all the time, and I know we talk about them this way and that way, but that's not. God has a great place for you and a great place for human beings. Made you a little lower than himself. Okay? What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou hast cared for him? Okay, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. That's why I'm thinking this could be a different covenant. I think the first one was the ark, but if you press it, yeah, I'll combine both of them, okay? But I just wanted to keep it that way. And every living creature that is with you, the birds, I thought it came out. Fruitful and increase in number, multiply in the earth and increase upon it. And God said to Noah, his sons with him, I now establish my covenant with you and with your descendants after you. And the next slide. And with every living creature that was with you, the birds, the livestock, wild animals, all those who came out of the ark with you, every living creature on the earth, I establish my covenant with you. Never again will all life be destroyed by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, this is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come. I have set a rainbow in the clouds, and it will be a sign of a covenant between me and the earth. I love this. Don't you love seeing a rainbow? It reminds me of the love of God and His promise. Okay. Whenever I bring the clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy the earth. Okay? Now, you know, rainbows are seen by perspective. That is, you have to have the right perspective to see a rainbow. I mean, if you're flying over in an airplane, you don't see that rainbow. You may see a rainbow, but you don't see the. Okay. So they're different. So it is by perspective that you see a rainbow. You can't see it any other way. So God's with us because He sees a rainbow too. Okay. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures and every living kind on the earth. So God said to Noah, this is a sign of the covenant I will establish between me and all of life on the earth. So what's the covenant? Yeah. No. Never again. No. And it's almost like he repents that he did. He repents that he made them. He repents that. Okay. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's a good. Yeah. But he didn't like. He just didn't like it. He didn't like doing it, and so he's going to look for a better way. So we got to come. Oh yeah, we've run over just a little bit. Just a little bit. I hope you use your map, because that's going to be coming into play right away. Because we're going to have the deal with Abram, here right away, and get that going. And then I think the next thing really is Tower of Babel. I think the next thing is Tower of Babel, another false story. Okay, let's close in prayer. Okay, Lord, we thank you again for your word, your marvelous living word. We want to thank you for it. And Lord, even though we don't understand everything about it. But we want to enter and wrestle to get its meaning for us individually. We understand for people, for humans in general, but for us individually, help us to do that. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we got one more, and we will work hard next week. Okay. Welcome.